So this morning, we are in week 5 of Rest Easy, and the title of this message is Conquered and Blessed. Conquered and Blessed sounds like an oxymoron, but it's conquered and blessed. How many know that sometimes you've got to be conquered before you can actually be blessed? I can't wait to tell you more about this in the Word of the Lord. In the book of Genesis, chapter 32, verses 22 through 32, 29, let's read these words together, then we'll pray. Now, this is a story about a person named Jacob who was known to be a deceiver, a conniver, a schemer. This was who Jacob was. He was a schemer. It says, and Jacob arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. And he took them and he sent them over the brook and he sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone. And a man, capital M, a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he had saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. God said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked, saying, tell me your name. And God said, why is it that you ask about my name? And he blessed him there. He blessed him there. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the word of the Lord. I thank you for your holy, infallible scripture. Father, I thank you that you're our God who can put all of our wrestling to rest. So, Lord, I pray that you would give me the unction, give me the wisdom, give me the ability to speak your words in a way that would be highly powerful and minister to the hearts of your people. Lord, help me to do this justice. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and let everyone say, amen. Amen. Have you ever had one of those moments when you did or said something, and immediately after you did or said that thing, you wish that you could take it back? Come on, just me? Come on, you clicked send on that email that you knew you should not send. Right? And it went out into the internet. You said something to a loved one that you wish that you wouldn't have said, or maybe you did something that you wish you wouldn't have done. Well, believe it or not, I've had some of those moments myself, and I know that's hard to believe, right? Because I'm so perfect. Far from it. Well, when my wife and I were in our first 6 months or so of marriage, you could pretty much describe our relationship as a wrestling match. Come on, can I get a witness? We have any newlyweds in the house? The first year of marriage tends to be a bit of a wrestling match, if you will. In other words, you've got two people that happen to have a will, that happen to have ideas, that happen to have preferences, and the goal is to try to marry these two people, to marry their ideas and their opinions and their lives, and to integrate them into oneness, into one life. And how many know that can be a bit of a wrestling match sometimes? Amen? You guys awake? Come on, now listen. Come on. I'm not the only one doing. You're supposed to participate with me. Let me know that you're happy, smile, do something. It's a wrestling match, isn't it? The less you are wrestling with your spouse, the more pleasant your marriage will become. The less tug of war that's going on between the one that you love, the less toiling and the less effort you're exerting in your life. Well, I can remember one particular day, it was probably just a couple months after we were married, and I did something that I wish that I could take back. Now, don't judge me. I'm going to be very transparent this morning. Some of you might not ever look at me the same because you think I'm perfect, but I'm not perfect. We were in the middle of what you call an argument. That's a nice way of saying we were in a fight, all right? We were in a full-blown fight. And we just got back from the store, and we had ordered this special bean salsa dip. And that bean salsa dip was sitting there on the counter, and Annie and I were in this little back and forth. And I wish I could take it back, I really do, but she said something that really angered me, and I proceeded to raise my fist down onto the counter, and instead of the counter, there was a bean dip sitting there. And as my fist proceeded to go down onto the counter, it smashed through the bean dip, and there was bean salsa dip all over me, my wife, our counter, the ceiling, and everything else. I will go to the altar and repent this morning. Somebody lay hands on me. Not my finest moment. I have to say, though, it did bring a little humor into the moment because we were splattered in salsa, as if to signify the struggle, the wrestling match that we were really in. I have to say, I asked my wife for permission on this one. It wouldn't be that much later that she would actually pour coffee on my lap. Not that same day. Don't judge me. I know what goes on behind the scenes at your house. Maybe not specifically, but I know stuff has happened. Can we just be honest? Can we be honest in church? I splattered bean dip. I splattered bean dip. Well, I'm going to be even more honest. So now, you know, I had some friends, good Christian friends, who had everything in their heart. Their desire was that Annie and I would have a good marriage. If you love somebody, you want them to have a good marriage, don't you? And so it didn't matter what Annie's side of this was, because it was all her fault. I mean, right? We all know that. It was all her fault, of course. No, I'm kidding, of course. But I had some really good friends. Both of them were pastor figures, and they took me out for coffee. They took me out for coffee, and they began to proceed to tell me about myself. How many know when you're having friends sit you down to talk about yourself, it can be a humbling moment, can it? If you've got friends willing to take you out to coffee to really be honest with you about yourself, you've got some good friends. And their heart was love for us, love for me, love for Annie, and love for our marriage. And they wanted to make sure that we were putting our best foot forward, that we were situated and setting ourselves up for success. So they proceeded to tell me all of my faults. And of course, I did what the natural newlywed does. I began to tell them all about Annie's faults. But if you found something out, if you walk with God long enough, you'll figure out that He is more concerned with you being self-reflective than He is at you pointing fingers. Can I get an amen? It almost seems like you can get to the point where it's so challenging that God wants you to be focused on you rather than focused on the faults of people around you. Now, make no mistake, Annie had her set of faults, and I have my set of faults. But God didn't want me pointing fingers at Annie. He wanted me to be self-reflective and to look at my own heart. And that's what that coffee meeting represented. It was very painful. It's very painful when you feel like you're in the right, only to find out that you're in the wrong as well. And it was painful for me to be spoken to by people who love me and to put up a mirror and show me myself. But what happened after that evening, I went home and, you know, there might have been some tears, and Annie and I, of course, were huggy and lovey and all was well. But I found something really interesting out. After leaving that meeting with my friends, when we talked through all about my life and my issues and my shortcomings, I was left with this amazing sense of relief. It's as if this burden, this monkey, had been taken off of my shoulders. It's no secret. I wasn't perfect. It's a relief when you let your guard down and you realize that it's okay to not be perfect. That people can still love you despite your faults and your shortcomings. I can't describe to you the immense sense of relief that was taken off my... It's hard to describe. I didn't expect it. But I felt as though, wow, I can let my pride down. I don't have to defend myself when Annie says something I don't like, or I don't have to defend myself. I'm not perfect either. It was just an amazing sense of relief. It's as if my wrestling match had ceased. I didn't have to put up a front. I didn't have to pretend like I was perfect. I didn't have to defend myself as though I deserved some special treatments above and beyond what any other ordinary person should expect. Do you guys follow me? I hope you're following me. I was humbled. And in the humility, I was relieved. It was powerful. Some of you, you've been in a perpetual wrestling match, not necessarily with a spouse, because I'm just using that by way of example, but you've been in a perpetual wrestling match with God. We've all been in a wrestling match with God from time to time. And the thing about it is, when we're wrestling with the Lord, how many know the Lord never loses a wrestling match? It's not like you can argue with God, wrestle with God, and get him to concede. He doesn't concede. God is always right. God is always perfect. God always knows all things. And he will allow us to wrestle with him, even for long extended periods of time. And sometimes we might think that, hey, you know, I'm actually making progress with God. I'm actually contending with God. But in the end, we all know that God always wins. And you will find in your life that you will find your blessings through your defeat. When you lose the wrestling match to the Lord, that is when life begins to flow through your life again. I hope you can. We can talk about this in Scripture and really unpack what the Lord is saying. I think it'll be powerful. In verse 24, it says, Jacob was left alone. Now, just to give you a little context, the name Jacob literally means deceiver. He's known as the one who had grabbed the heel of Esau. Jacob and Esau were twin brothers. When they came out of the womb, Esau came out first, and as he came out of the womb, Jacob was hanging onto his heel. He was a heel grabber. Translated, he was trying to hinder or stop Esau. Jacob wanted to be the firstborn. Jacob wanted to be the blessed one, and so he was a heel grabber, and he would spend his whole life as a schemer, as a con artist, as a deceiver, and that's why his name was Jacob, the con man. he would proceed to live his life in such a way. And rather than trusting the Lord for his blessing, and rather than trusting the Lord in his life, he caught himself up in a perpetual wrestling match where he was constantly scheming, striving, manipulating, and conning. All the way up to the point where when Jacob was wanted to receive the blessing of his father, he stole the birthright from his older brother Esau. He tricked his dad. He tricked Isaac. Esau was a hairier man. He was kind of a hunter, a fighter. And Esau was the guy out bringing home the game. And Jacob was more of a homebody, a homemaker kind of guy. And one night, Isaac thought he was about to pass away. He thought he was going to die. And he was going to put his blessing, the blessing of the father, over his eldest and favorite son, Esau. Well, Jacob tricked him. And Isaac laid his blessing on who he thought was Esau, but it was actually Jacob. So Jacob received the blessing of his father instead of Esau through conning his dad. Come on now. He was a trickster. He was a schemer. He was a con artist. So as Jacob was left alone, God had set him up where here he is all these years later after stealing Esau's birthright. And here comes Esau with his entourage coming right at them in the wilderness. Now Jacob is confronted with the man whom he had stolen the birthright from. And earlier when it had happened, Jacob's mother warned Jacob that Esau will kill you for what you have done. You had better stay away from Esau. So when Jacob saw that Esau and his entourage was there, he knew his life was finished. It was over. It was done. No more. Esau was going to kill him. Esau was going to kill his family. Esau was going to just take revenge on what Jacob had done in his life years earlier. It's a nice way to live your life, isn't it? Scheming people, conning people, wrestling and manipulating things to the way that you like it, only to find that life just becomes a big old wrestling match. And God got him where he was finally alone. Jacob's still away. He sent his wife over. He sent some of the items and the possessions, and he was hoping to pacify his brother Esau, maybe delay the inevitable. And here he was, and he's stilled away, and he just wanted to be alone for a while. And something amazing happens. A peculiar thing happens. Almost a mysterious event would unfold in the Bible that many scholars and theologians have debated the meaning and the context of this for many, many, many years. But a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now, it's very obvious that as you read that it would be this man, capital M, was in fact a Christophany. It was a pre-incarnate Christ. It was literally Jesus whom Jacob was wrestling with. What's fascinating is that Jesus, the man, this angel of the Lord, came to Jacob and started wrestling Jacob when he was alone. In other words, God started the wrestling match. When Jacob was alone, when Jacob was frightened, when Jacob was fearful, it was Jesus, it was God, it was this angel that came and showed up on the scene and began to wrestle with Jacob. How many know that God has set up a perpetual wrestling match with you and I so long as we have issues in our lives that have not yet been resolved? Come on now. In other words, as long as we're going to try to scheme and manipulate, as long as we're going to try to live our lives based on rules rather than grace, as long as we're going to live our lives full of pride rather than humility, there will be a perpetual wrestling match between us and the Lord. How many know wrestling is very, very tiresome? Have you ever wrestled before? I wrestled in seventh grade. I didn't like it. It's too hard, Wrestling, you have to put every ounce of energy. You are grappling and grabbing and holding on to somebody else of equal strength or maybe greater strength than you. And every part of your body, every ounce, every muscle, you are exerting to try to take dominance over this other individual. And it is extremely tiresome. Wrestling is hard. You can't be in a state of rest when you're wrestling. Come on, can I get an amen? You can't be restful and enjoying the relaxation in the finished work of Christ so long as that we are, if we're in a wrestling match with the Lord. We can't have peace. And the beauty of this is that it was God who came and wrestled Jacob. Sounds like a curse, but it's a great blessing. That God will wrestle you, he will wrestle you, he will wrestle you to the point that until you reach your point of exhaustion. How many of you are happy that you serve a God who is committed to wrestling the pride out of you? Come on now. How many of you are happy that you serve a God who will wrestle, come on, wrestle the scheming out of your life? Who's committed enough to you to meet you where you are and start wrestling you. Come on now. That he doesn't leave you to your own devices. He doesn't just leave you to just do any old thing. He will wrestle you. He will wear you out. He will be persistent in your life. He will continue to grapple with you until you reach the point of surrender. That's the story of many people when they get saved. They spent their whole lives living for themselves, out doing no good. They know better. They knew. They heard about Jesus in church. But instead, they decided to wrestle the Lord. And they ran from the Lord. And they're in a perpetual state of wrestling. And life becomes difficult. And things don't always line up. And trouble comes. And hardships come. And the rest of the Lord that is available to all humanity is just slips through our fingers. Because instead of resting in him, we're wrestling with him. Come on. Jesus told Paul, it's hard for you to kick against the goads. In other words, as long as you're kicking like a mule, you're kicking your feet up against these spikes that are on the chariot. It's difficult to fight against God. And sometimes we feel like we're making headway in our wrestling match, when all the while we know deep down that just one supernatural touch from God can knock our hip out of socket. In other words, he's just like a dad wrestling a little two-year-old, making him think he's winning, when in reality, he's not winning. There was purpose in the wrestling match. There is purpose in God wearing you out. There is purpose in God wrestling you. Every time you want to go your way, every time you want to do things your way, there's a purpose in God wrestling you to the mat. Are you guys with me? Notice it says, the man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. In other words, all night long, he was wrestling Jacob. He was wrestling the con man. He was wrestling the deceiver. He was wrestling Jacob because he was committed to Jacob. He was wrestling Jacob because he loved Jacob. He was wrestling Jacob because he was committed and determined to outwit him, to outwear him, to bring him to the point of utter and complete exhaustion. Where hopefully Jacob would just throw up his hands and say, God, I surrender to you. How long are we going to wrestle with God? Well, a lot of preachers will preach about this, and they talk all about how this was Jacob wrestling, and it was a wrestling match of prayer. I think there's deeper philosophical and deeper theological implications to this that have everything to do with an old system and a new system, a way of striving versus a way of grace. And we'll learn about that in a minute. The next verse, in verse 23, 25, Now, when he saw that he did not prevail against him, notice who saw that? Capital H. When God saw that God did not prevail against him. In other words, when God saw, when the wrestler saw that Jacob was not going to relent. Come on now. There are some people who have a fighting spirit. Jacob had a fighting spirit. That's a good thing when it's pointed in the right direction. Come on. Paul was a fighter. Paul was a zealous man. Paul had all kinds of zeal for the Lord. But God needed to turn his zeal towards Jesus. Come on. Some of you, you're fighters. You've got these qualities. God has put so much in you, and he's turning your zeal, and he's turning your fight for his good cause. Are you guys with me? God was noticing this man's not going to give up. He's just going to keep fighting. He's going to keep fighting and fighting and wrestling. I'm going to have to turn up the heat another notch. So God touched the socket of his hip. And the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. This is an example, this is an illustration of how God always wins. Come on, some of you dads, you wrestle with your little kids and you want to make them believe that they're winning for a while, right? Or have you ever played that arm wrestling game where you just sort of hold it there for a while? Oh, you're beating me, son, and then boom. That's what God does with us. He lets us wrestle with him, not because we're making headway, but because he has purpose in the wrestling match. Because at the end of the wrestling match, just like your son and dad, and the son realizes just how strong dad really is, even though for a moment he thought he could perhaps win. In the end, Jacob would realize that God was too great for him. One supernatural touch, and Jacob had a limp for the rest of his life. You see, the purpose of the wrestling match was for Jacob to go from being the schemer and the deceiver to being the man that would trust God and trust God alone. He wanted Jacob to go from the man who trusted in his own intellect and his own abilities to the man who trusted in Jesus and his ability alone. He wanted Jacob to go from the man who tried to work towards his salvation or work towards his righteousness through rules and regulations to a man who would just throw up his arms and surrender, recognizing that the way of Jesus and grace is the only way to God. Amen? One supernatural touch and the wrestling match is over. God always wins. The sooner we just throw up our hands and say, God, why am I trying to do this my way? God, why am I trying to work this thing? It's driving me crazy. I don't have any rest. I can't find any peace. It's because you are wrestling. Wrestling to get ahead. Wrestling to make ends meet. Wrestling to do what God wants to do in your life. Wrestling to be righteous. Wrestling to be approved. Wrestling to be accepted. Wrestling, wrestling, and wrestling. The wrestling match will never cease until you recognize he is the greater one. This is the lesson of Jacob. God always wins the wrestling match. In the next verse, Jacob finds himself in a position where he was already exhausted. He was already scared for his life. He was already so worried about Esau. And here he was going to the Lord, seeking help from the Lord. And instead of getting help from the Lord, he finds himself in a wrestling match with the Lord. In other words, God wanted to show Jacob that his greatest enemy was not Esau, but his greatest enemy was himself. You guys follow me. So Jacob reaches a point of utter exhaustion. Jacob was conquered. His hip, had been knocked out of sockets. He would never be the same. He would have a limp the rest of his life. Jacob was defeated. But here's what God loved about Jacob. God tells Jacob, he said, let me go. You see, Jacob was no longer wrestling with God. He was already conquered. But Jacob was just hanging on to God. Come on now. This is where God wants you to be. God wants you to be in a position where you are no longer wrestling him, but you're simply clinging on to him with all that you got. Here's a beautiful mystery about wrestling. A wrestling match is between two individuals. One individual is clinging to the other, and the other individual is clinging to the other. And this is the beautiful picture image of what God is doing with Jacob. If you're hanging on to Jesus, I want you to know Jesus is hanging on to you. As you're hanging on for hope, hope is hanging on to you. Come on, somebody. When you're hanging on to love, love is still hanging on to you. God has instigated a wrestling match with you. And this is a beautiful picture of two that have come together that will not let go of each other. God has a grip of grace on you. And as you're wrestling with God, God is wrestling with you, and he's got his grip on you. And we find as Jacob reaches a point of exhaustion and defeat and surrender, he's no longer wrestling. He's laying there. He's just hanging on. Hanging on. He's saying, I won't let go, God. I'm not going to let go unless you bless me. In other words, he was desperate. Jacob was desperate. This is what happens when the wrestling finally stops. When the wrestling stops, you lay there and you just say, God, I'm done. I surrender. I'm not going to keep fighting. I'm not going to keep doing it my way. I'm not going to keep thinking I know everything. I'm not going to keep trying to do things that you haven't told me to do. I'm not going to keep trying to do things the way you told me to. I'm not going to keep doing things that I know that are just putting me in a wrestling match with you. I'm done. You have rendered me conquered. But I'm just going to hang on to you until you bless me. The whole point of the wrestling match was for God to bring his blessing to you. You guys know that. This is what Jacob knew. Jacob knew enough about God to know that God is a blesser. And he wasn't willing to let go until God had blessed him. Now, in the next verse, God is setting up his blessing. You're going to find this fascinating. Okay, Jacob. You want to be blessed. You're seeking my blessing. You want me to protect you from Esau, but I have just rendered the wrestling match over because I have protected you from yourself. So he says to him, what is your name? In other words, Jacob, it's time to be honest. Jacob, I want you to tell me who you are. Jacob has no choice. The only way to receive the blessing of the Lord was to be real with God. He says, my name is Jacob. I'm the con man. I'm the deceiver. I'm the con artist. I'm not going to fight it anymore. I'm not just going to, you know how we like to put fancy things on it? We just say, well, I'm a firm person. I'm firm, but they're stubborn. No, my weakness is actually a strength. No. What's your real name, Jacob? What's your real name? Well, I'm not going to fight anymore, God. I'm Jacob. I'm Jacob. I'm stubborn. I always know better. I didn't listen to you. I'm a con man. I'm a schemer. That's what God's out. What's your name? What's your name, Rob? And when you're willing to be defeated by God, this is where the blessing comes in. Because the wrestling match is finally over. God wants to pin you down and drive you to the point of exhaustion and surrender from wrestling against him so that he can bless you. And when you can admit who you are, you've just prevailed. God hasn't prevailed. You have prevailed when you can admit who you really are. This is 90% of our struggle, isn't it? Admitting our own shortcomings, recognizing our own faults, taking the log out of our own eye instead of trying to point out the speck in everybody else's eye. Who are you really, Jacob? Just go ahead. Let's talk about it. There's no more beautiful place to be than when you are honest with God. I'm not saying you need to go run around telling everybody about you, but you can tell God about you. And when you know who you are, God already knew who you were. This is where the wrestling match is finally over. You don't have to put up a front anymore. You don't have to be prideful anymore. You don't have to pretend. You don't have to put up a facade. You don't have to wear a plastic face. You can just be authentic. And in that place of humility, when the wrestling's over, I cannot tell you how incredible God's blessing is in your life. I am so grateful for a God who will continue to wrestle even our most stubborn brethren and sisters, even me. Many wrestling matches have I been with God. And I'm thankful that he was relentless. I'm thankful that he would show up and wrestle me. I couldn't get peace. I couldn't find peace. I'm not gonna quit on you, Rob, until you're defeated by me. It's kind of an interesting dichotomy, isn't it? In your conqueredness, when you are conquered, that is when you are the prevailer. It's amazing. In the next verse, God blesses him. He says, your name shall no longer be called the con man. In your moments of surrender, in your moments of defeat, in your moments of transparency with me, when you finally come to your senses and you've recognized who you really are, I will supernaturally change your identity. Come on, somebody. You'll no longer be called Jacob. I'm going to call you Israel. Israel, meaning prince with God. You might still struggle with the old you. You might still struggle with your old thoughts and your old coping mechanisms and your old ways, but that is no longer who I identify you as. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, this wrestling match is a foreshadowing of a new covenant reality, a blessing that we would walk in hundreds of years later under the new system that Jesus has provided. The wrestling match is forever over. Your name has been changed. You are a new creation if you are in Christ Jesus. Or you might find yourself in little things with God, and God's working on you, and you're in these wrestling matches with God. But at the end of the day, you are already a new creation. You've been defeated, and in your defeat, you have prevailed. He says, I call you Jacob. Jacob, I'm going to turn your name to Israel. Why? For you have struggled with God and with men, and you have prevailed, Jacob. How did Jacob prevail? He prevailed in that he was finally defeated. He prevailed in that he continued his wrestling match with God until he recognized that he was defeated. The only time it is acceptable to be defeated is to be defeated by the Lord. Because when you're defeated by the Lord, you surrender and you relinquish your pride and your ways and your system and your mechanisms and all the things that you're trying to do to be righteous and be right and get ahead. And you have relinquished all of that over into the hands of God. And you are a humbled man and woman in the Lord. You prevailed, Jacob. You surrendered to the living God. In the next verse, we're going to wrap it up. Come on up to the worshipers. In verse 29, Jacob asked him, as if he didn't know, "What is your name?" God says, "Why is it that you ask about my name?" In other words, you know exactly who I am. God blessed him there. Ladies and gentlemen, this is where you are blessed. This is where the blessing of the Lord is released in your life. If you don't know the Lord Jesus, if you've been wrestling against God all your life, the moment you surrender, the moment you say, "God, I accept you. God, I admit my name. I admit who I am. I want to receive from you the forgiveness that you provided through Jesus Christ." At that moment, the blessing of the Lord is yours. And the wrestling match is over. Your wrestling with the Lord, your striving with God is over, believer. You don't have to do anything to be loved by God, to be accepted by God. You have all spiritual blessings. They all belong to you. And it is a simple posture of receiving these things as a gift rather than trying to work it out your own. God blessed him there. You are favored. Believer, you are favored. You are righteous. You are blessed. You are anointed. God has blessed your life. This is what this whole wrestling match represents. When you accept Jesus into your heart, the wrestling match is over. You are walking in the blessing of the Lord. And as we close, there was something about Jacob as he became the man Israel, that would cause him to never be the same. The mark of that wrestling match would be attached to him for the rest of his life. Jacob was now a man with a limp. Come on, somebody. The blessing of the Lord comes with a new walk. A new walk of humility. A new walk of reliance upon God. A new walk of trusting God in all things. A new walk where He is the one directing your life and you are limping in following God throughout the rest of your life. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are a believer, you have a perpetual limp. But what's beautiful about this? What's beautiful about this humility? Because God had shown you that you would never make it through your own strength. He wrestled you down. He pinned you to the mat until you surrendered. And you walked out of that with a perpetual lifelong limp that you recognize that you cannot make it. That you recognize that you have your own faults and your own shortcomings. And you need a God who's bigger than you. You need a God who can provide for you. You need a God who can help you throughout every day. You need a God who can help you with your anger. You need a God who can help you out of your habitual problems and issues. You need a God who can provide for you. You need a God who's going to take care of all your needs so you can stop striving and you can stop trying to scheme everything. You have a limp that God has given you, and your limp has become your strength. How about we just all admit that we've got a limp? How about we just all admit We need Jesus. We need him as much today as we did the day that we said yes to him for the very, we need him as much today as we did 40, 50, 60 years ago. You'll need Jesus as much today as you did when you were 4 years old and you prayed to receive him into your heart. You still need Jesus. You still need his grace, and you will always need his grace, for God has given you a permanent spiritual limp. You are not perfect, but you are perfect by his strength. In 2 Corinthians 12:11, Paul throws up his hands. And Paul said, I can boast about all of my accolades. I'm the Pharisee of all Pharisees. I've got all the degrees. I've got the pedigree. I am the man. I'm the leader of all the Pharisees. But I consider it all dung. I consider it all garbage by comparison to this grace of God, this person of Jesus. All of these accolades and all of my pedigree got me nothing. But I have a limp. God has shown me. He's buffeted me. The enemy comes, and I've got this thing on my life that he will not remove from me. Nobody knows exactly what it was on Paul's life, but it's to represent what all of us have on our life. There is that thing in you where you know that you need Jesus. You need his grace. You know you mess up. You know you screw up. You know you've got that issue. You know you've got that tendency. You know that you need a God who's going to walk with you, talk with you, lead you, and give you grace all the days of your life. So Paul says, for the sake of Christ, I am content with my weaknesses. For when I am weak, that's when I'm strong. When I'm defeated, that's when I prevail. When I'm humbled, that's when I'm blessed. Father, we thank you so much for the word of the Lord. God, I pray every word spoken would fall upon your heart. I pray that anybody, I feel like we were praying the other day, and there's some people in here that you've just been chained up, and you've been wrestling. And today, you've been defeated. And in your defeat, the blessing of the Lord and the rest of the Lord belongs to you. This is how you rest. You rest because you're weak. You rest in your defeat. You rest because you have been conquered by the living God, and you have recognized that he is greater than you, and that you need him every day, every moment, every hour. God's got you right where he wants you. So God, I pray that every chain and every shackle would be broken off of your people. I pray that the wrestling match, Lord, that many of us have been struggling with, trying to defeat you, trying to prevail against you, God, I pray that those wrestling matches at this moment would end in defeat and blessing. Let us walk into the rest of the Lord. Let us walk into the easy yoke and the light burden that comes through surrender and that comes through being conquered in you. Father, I thank you so much for these things, and we pray them in the name of Jesus. Let's stand to our feet and let's worship the Lord together as we close.